If you remember the last Sunday, we talked about grace being the power. Grace is power. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, let's read verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That's what we're going to talk about today. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. All right, now, Lord, we thank you for the song, and thank you for the songs we sang together. Thank you for everybody's here this morning, for the privilege of being in your house. Lord's most important business of our life is being done right now in this place. So I pray you'd help us to realize that and to not take lightly or to sit in the dumbness of our spirit and not receive what you have for us this morning. Please help us, Lord. More of a subject than I'm able to even deal with this morning. Please help us to say what's important and be clear in Jesus' name. Amen. It really is. You know, this is what I've found in studying after all the years. You know, you do it and you kind of get in the swing of it. You learn how to do it and how to study. And God just helps you. You mature in your ability to read and understand and put things together. It all just, you learn and learn and learn. You read and read and read from the Word of God, and it just starts becoming a whole. It just starts becoming a whole thing. I don't know if you understand that or not. Instead of bits and pieces, instead of just little glimpses here and little tastes and bites there, it just becomes the whole thing. And when I study, you know, here's the way it works. If I study all week, that's them Sundays we're here hour and a half because it's just too much. And I don't even begin. So the thing is, I've struggled with this. Maybe I just shouldn't study so much. Well, no, that's not the answer. The answer is that everything that I find out studying, I ain't supposed to preach here on Sunday morning. A lot of it's just for me. I just have to pick out what I think the Lord wants you to have. And so that's what we got to do. And I know that I've thought about this for 2 weeks, and I can't, there's way more than I can even begin to accomplish this morning. So we're not going to cover very much. But I mean the little phrase there, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And it's such an obvious truth, and yet it's the one that is so neglected and so misunderstood and everything else. It's just not applied in our lives like it should be. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And that's a truth that's illustrated throughout the entire Bible. All the people that we consider to be great people in the Bible, without exception, you find this truth in their life. They came to the end of themselves. Before God was able to use them to accomplish whatever He did with them. And you'll also find that every one of them never thought of themselves as being anything strong and mighty. They never claimed, they never felt, they never said things to indicate that they thought they were the answer to all of God's problems in this world. The longer they lived, the less they thought of themselves, and the more they thought of God. Amen. They really did diminish, and God increased. It works no other way. Until we are diminished, God is not increased. We know little of God as long as there's much of us. As long as we think we have strength. If we think we're strong, we're weak. I mean, we don't know anything about God's strength until we know our weakness. And I mean, not just fake humility. You know, not just saying it, oh, I know I'm not what I ought to be, and I'm not. Nah, all that. I'm not talking about fake, false, put on, pretend humility. What we're talking about here is when you really do come to where you just realize that you are absolutely nothing and you cannot do absolutely anything to accomplish anything on your own. It's a real struggle, especially for people who are preachers and teachers and things like that. Parents. Everybody has this in their life. They think that they have this. There's people that they are responsible to make sure they, well, yeah, we got to do what we can do. But boy, what we can do is not very little. Here's what I'm talking about. I've come to realize I can't convince anybody of anything. I can preach and scream and holler. I can do whatever. I can prove it with facts, scriptures. Ain't going to convince nobody. It's just what Gary's talking about in Sunday school debating. It's just like a debate. That's what everybody considers it. It's not. You know, I can't even convince you this morning to listen to me. And even if you listen to me, I can't convince you of what I'm saying is true. I can't convince my own children. I can't convince my wife. I can't persuade anybody in my own power. Everybody, you know, this whole deal of winning people to Christ, and it's always bothered me, but it hadn't been no time ago till I heard somebody say something about, you know, they won somebody to Christ. They led somebody to Christ. Did you really? Who was the preacher who said that? Well, somebody said, I met one of your converts the other day. And he said, well, if he was my convert, you didn't meet much of a person. It's God who does the work. All right. Now, you know, we can talk about everybody through the Bible. But the source of their strength was not visible on the outside. I mean, I thought of Samson. He's a hard one to explain, but think about Samson. The great mystery to the Philistines was, where is the source of his strength? Because from his outward appearance, they couldn't see it in his muscles. They couldn't see it in his size and his mass. He looked like a normal person. But he wasn't a normal person. There was strength there that came from God. Obviously. That's where it came from. And so, anyway, he's a hard one to explain. But God doesn't seek strong men to use. That's our big fallacy, see? We think he does. And so we want to be strong so God can use us. It's not the way it is. God doesn't seek strong men to use. He seeks weak men, weak people. And he strengthens them with his power. And that is grace. That's what we're talking about. The grace of God is the power of God. It's the strength of God that he gives to us. Through his influence, he empowers us to overcome through grace, his influence on us. But he can't do that as long as we are still exercising our strength, our wisdom, our will, and we're resorting to our means and our fancies. God does not strengthen people who are strong in their own eyes. He only strengthens people who are weak and powerless, and they know it. That's the only ones who know of this perfection of strength of God. Everybody gets a little taste of grace, the grace of God that brings salvation, hath appeared to all men. Everybody tastes it a little bit, but some people know it in its fullness, perfection. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That's the fullness of it. That's the maturity of it. That's the extent of it that you may know in this life, in this world. The perfection of it is in your weakness. When I am weak, Paul said, then I'm strong. Can you even grasp that? I mean, can you get your mind around that at all? It's when you run out of your own strength, it's only then that you really find what God's strength is like. You have to do that. Few are the people who truly come to the point where they realize they can do nothing of themselves. You know, I can't even convince anyone here today of anything I say. And some I can't even convince to listen. But if anything is accomplished with anything that I do in my life, it'll be God that does it and not me. Now, I've about come to realize that. Have you? Or do you still think that you got a way? You know an answer. You got a plan. You got another thing you want to try. Or have you come to the point where you realize it? Ain't nothing I say, ain't nothing I do, ain't nothing that's about me that's going to accomplish anything that I think of, that I will, that I try to force, that I do in my own strength. The strong man's strength is his own. The weak man's strength is God's. And until we absolutely believe with all our heart the words of Jesus when he said, "Without me, you can do nothing," we will know very little of the grace of God. And most people don't really believe that. They read it and they say, "Well, Jesus said it, it's got to be true," but they don't really believe it. They've not experienced it. They've not come to that place where they realize that they can do nothing. I can do something. Yes, sir. I can still do something. And I'm going to do something. And I'm going to make this happen. And I'm going to force this. Go ahead. But you're without God's strength. You're just using up what gas you got in your tank. It's going to run out. And there ain't going to be no more. You're going to run out of yours. Sooner or later, your strength will be exhausted. And the sooner, the better for you. All right, until we're brought completely to the end of ourselves, to the end of our strength, to the end of our pride, to the end of our resources, to the end of our recourses, we can't know the perfect strength of God. And so to continue in our own strength then, and our own devices, is to really resist the grace of God. It is. As long as we're continuing in what we think and what we want and what we have this zeal for, I'm not talking about just selfish, carnal things. There's a lot of people who try to serve God in their own strength. Most everybody does. I'm telling you, that's the way it is. Now, how much has God got to do with it when we're doing it in our own strength? God's not in it. I don't care how much shouting, how many people come, how much of a big show we make. God ain't in it. If it's of us, it's not of God. This is a thing, see, that's been left in the dust behind us a long time ago. Everything you're seeing now is being made to happen with money. I'm going to get ahead of myself. So to continue in our strength, we're resisting the grace of God. And grace is the divine influence on our mind and heart that imparts to us the power to overcome sin and to obey God in this present evil world. Grace is how we do it. We're saved by grace through faith. And it's the same way we live the Christian life. By grace through faith. That's how you live for God. That's how you get free from sin, and that's how you stay free from sin. Grace. Now, they talk about the grace of God, but they're not free from sin. They talk about the grace of God, but they're void of the power to overcome their problems, to even survive some calamity in their life. I don't know, y'all may know some more about this than I do, but there's this fellow named Josh somebody, and he wrote a book way years ago about I Kissed Dating Goodbye. You've seen on the news where now he says that he is not even a Christian. He don't even identify as a Christian. He apologized to the queers and for not being good to them like he ought to been. Left his wife and says he don't even identify as a Christian anymore. And he refuted all he said in the book. So Yeah, you ought to burn it. I don't know. Well, that tells me that the grace of God was not active in his life. They went out from us because they were not of us. If you're a partaker of his grace this morning, you ain't quitting. You ain't going nowhere. You're going to continue until Jesus calls you home. And you will overcome whatever happens in your life, no matter how heavy and dreadful and awful it might be, you'll make it. Because my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. And I, after this long, I can say it has been so far for me. It has been. And that is the only way I've made it. I didn't make it because I was determined. I didn't make it because I was full of zeal. I didn't make it because I knew so much. I've only made it to this far by the grace of God. Because God strengthened me when I was weak. And he'll do it again and again. And he'll do it again until my feet leave this ground. So, grace is the power that enables us to continue and to persevere when all the circumstances of our lives seem to testify against God and call us a fool for believing in him. Grace is the power that enables us to face death with calm assurance and happy anticipation. That's grace. What is it? It is strength from God. That fills the void, because when you're laying it down, I was reading to her last night a bunch of quotes supposed to have been from Steve Jobs, you know, the Apple guy, died of cancer, 56 years old, 54, something like that. But that's what he was saying. He didn't say, you know, he died without God, as far as I know, and all of that, but he did recognize the vanity of material things and the brevity of life. And his own weakness, he said, there's nothing. I can't hire nobody to do this for me. I can't pay anything to get out of it. You know, I'm weak. I'm dying. And nobody can help me. So everybody, when you reach that point, when you're dying, you're weak. The Bible talks about there's no strength to resist. When death comes, you find yourself powerless. Man, you better know God before you get to that point. Yes, you better know the grace of God and experience before you get to that point. Amen. Grace is the power, and it's the strength of God that picks up where man's strength leaves off, but not until. God don't strengthen us in our own strength. He strengthens us in our weakness. Now, if all that's true, and it is, I just have to say this. I got to confess this. I have observed very little of the true grace of God in the years that I've been a Christian. In this sense. I'm talking about in its perfection. His strength perfected in people, I've seen very little of it. No wonder Jesus said, "Straight is the gate and narrow the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it." Because with this gauge right here, man, it makes it real narrow. And it makes it real few. I've seen lots and lots of men who thought themselves strong. And their whole ministry was about proving how strong they were. In fact, for the first many years that I was a Christian, that's what I was hammered on a lot and preached to and taught. Be strong. Be strong. Be aggressive. Be militant. Do something. Go after them. Don't just sit still. Don't just wait on God. Do something. That's the message. Well, that's the total opposite message of what I get from Paul here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Do you? I mean, it's not the message he's talking about at all. He's not talking about how strong you are and how able you are and how smart you are and how learned you are. And so go do something. He's saying, all that's a bunch of junk. See, he had this experience too. He had been a Pharisee. He had everything at his disposal to do something. And he counted all that but dumb. Another thing about this thing here is it's real akin to Gethsemane. Jesus prayed three times. Y'all realize that? Three times he asked the Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And after the third time, he just said, thy will be done. Paul prayed three times for this thorn to be removed. And then he said, whatever thy will is, Lord, I'll most gladly. I'll bear it. I'll bear it gladly. I've seen many do what they and others consider to be mighty works and take all the credit for it because they were so strong and so determined and they were so wise and successful and they had God on their side. I've saw a lot of that. I've seen a lot of people make a lot of things happen with money and determination and politics in the churches and claim it was God who did it. Seen that happen a lot of times too. But boy, I've come to, exercise a little more discernment about what's God's and what ain't. What's God's and what's man's doings. You know, I've got a little bit keener look about that than I used to have. Numbers used to impress me. Well, it impresses everybody. I've been to a lot of things and read books and listened to messages and it was a common thing. These sword conferences and things of years ago, and I guess they're still doing it. I'm sure they are. But that was the thing. Every preacher bragged about their buildings and how many millions of dollars worth of buildings and property they had and how they started with just nothing. That was a major point to prove that God was with them. Does God do that? Is that really what God does? My strength is made perfect in weakness. Not in some hero. Not in some superstar. Not in some religious celebrity. Not in somebody that everybody looks to and thinks is some kind of Superman or special person. That is not how God works. When is everybody going to get that? Never. Never going to get it. People worship celebrities. That's just the way it is. But very few are the times that I've seen a truly humble and empty man do such impressive and showy things. God's perfect strength simply does not manifest itself that way. And those who've enjoyed good health and been prosperous all their lives, they just do not know much about the strength of God or the grace of God. I've had some firsthand dealings with some of these people like I'm talking about. Everything, we joke around about it with one another because we all know a few people, and I won't call no names, but we all know. I was talking to somebody the other day about one of them that we know. But people who just, no matter what happens, it just turns out wonderful for them. I mean, whatever they do turns into money for them. Whatever they do works. They just don't seem to have any trouble, any failures. They can do a terrible job, and somehow it all works out good for them. It works the same way in churches and religious work. Amen. That's what's killing us. That's what's damning our nation. It's what's destroying the whole world. I was thinking about it last night. We've got some friends who are Catholics, some Mexicans, and I read their stuff and the things they say and get an idea of how they're thinking. And I was just thinking last night, we moan and grieve about the apostasy in the Independent Baptists and all that. Man, it ain't just that. It is worldwide. Even those kind of people are thinking the same way about sin and Christ. You can just be a sinner. It don't matter. I mean, you know, you can just do anything you want and Jesus still loves you. That's the message that's out there. It permeates every religion and everything. So it's not just us, but that's, you know, if you just enjoy good health and you don't have any trouble and everything goes your way, you don't know anything of the grace of God. So that makes what you do not of God. Well, I know this is real. This goes over like a lead balloon, but I'm just trying to help you here with some things in your own life. You apply this to your own life. When we only get knowledge of the strength of God by experiencing our own weakness. And that applies to everybody. The preachers, the big shots, everybody. What you better, if you really want to know about the grace of God and what it's like and what it work, how it works, and you want to see it in your own life and in other people, you better look for this kind of people. When you find one, it's not going to be these superstars. They're not the ones who experience the grace of God. It's not God who has made them strong and famous and popular. It wasn't God who helped that fella write that book. No. Now, I've got a whole message I've been thinking of for 2-3 weeks here about all this, you know, and this. I don't even want to go there because I'll get sidetracked and my thoughts will be all messed up, but I'm really loaded with all of that too, so you better prepare about that. But we only, you know, we'll not experience our own weakness unless we travel the same road that the people of God before us have traveled, and it's been a thorny road for them. Read Hebrews chapter 11. You'll find that the way has not been a bed of roses for God's people. Never has. Why? Because you don't experience God's grace until you experience trouble. Great tribulation brings out the great strength of God. Everything in this world is set up to stop us from realizing the power of the grace of God. You know, the reign and philosophy, and it's pagan, of this world puts self-confidence, self-esteem, self-reliance as the way to have power. Amen. Everything you read, everything you watch, everything you hear out of this world, everything they teach you in any aspect that comes from them anywhere, that's where they feel that power is acquired. Power to overcome. Power to live your life. Self. Self-confidence. Self-esteem. Self-reliance. They talk about being empowered. They say, believe in yourself. Then others will believe in you too. Believe in yourself. You ever hear that nonsense? That didn't come from God. Didn't come from His Word. That comes right out of hell and right out of this world. Right out of the mind of Satan and right out of the mind of unconverted people who enter this world full of self. You know, you can watch these little ones, just like Livy. You know, you can see it in her already. I mean, there is self-determination, self-reliance. These little ones, they want to be on their own just as soon as they can be. And it develops and it strengthens as they grow. And that's why you have to be born again. There has to be a work done in your life. And we ought to be very careful about making that stronger in them. We ought to weaken that in them all we can. Because it'll make it easier on them down the road. Boy, when that self thing, that self worship, that self reliance, that self esteem, all that gets solidified in their soul. Man, what does it take to blow it out of there? Most people never, it never happens. They die in their sins because of their self. And because they speak boldly, be confident, have assurance, and you'll convince and persuade other people. The race is to the swift and the battle to the strong. They think that's what the Bible says. They think that's the way it really is. The Bible says just the opposite. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. But they think it is. The stronger you are, the more you're going to win. Be strong. You know, the whole deal now is about women is supposed to be strong. We were down there in the hearing aid place the other day, and there lays this magazine there. And I told her, I said, see, here's what's wrong. I mean, this is a picture of what's wrong. Here's an older man and woman, and he's got his pants right about here, and they look like women's pants, and he's got a dog on a leash, and he's all limp, and, you know, she's standing there beside him. She's got her hair about as long as his, and wearing her bridge. I mean, it just looks... I said, boy... He don't look like a cowboy, that's what I told her. No, he don't. It's what's wrong. See? How'd I get off on that? God's on the side of the successful and the prosperous. That's what they think. Gain is godliness. That's what everybody believes nowadays. But we're supposed to get away from people like that. You know, get away from people like that. It's what the Bible tells us to do. From such, turn away. God, he who claims the most will get the most. And people seek to be empowered by forcing others to yield to them. And that's the way the world thinks you have power to succeed and overcome and live your life. And then they get cancer. Or one of their kids does. Or some tragedy happens in their life. And what happens to all their self-confidence and self-reliance and all of their false hope and power that they and beliefs they've got. What happens to it? Well, they find themselves falling with no bottom. They ain't got no foundation. But the true way to be empowered is by having self diminished to absolutely nothing. It is exactly the opposite of what they teach. And what everybody believes and clings to until they're really born of God and God works it out of them. And that is self. Matthew 5:3, Sermon on the Mount. Jesus, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Do you understand why he's saying those things now? My strength is made perfect in weakness. It's only when you come to the end of yourself. God had not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom. Yep. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Luke 14, verse 11, for whosoever, Jesus said, exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. A baby, an infant, is the weakest of all human beings, but his cry calls to his aid all the strength that is needed to meet his needs and take care of him. And then Jesus said this. He said, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18, verse 3. Until you get so dependent on God that there's nothing left of you, till you realize that you are just like a little infant that cannot do anything for himself. It's funny how we come into this world in that state. Why aren't we born like a horse, where our feet hit the ground and we're running right out of the gate? I mean, why not? No, of all the creatures, we're one of the most helpless when we're born. Have to be taken care of. We don't have the strength to do anything on our own. Nothing. Can't even roll over. Nothing. But there's somebody there that's got the strength to do what we need done. And more. And much more. And that's the way it is with God. And so until we return to that place spiritually, in our spiritual life, in our life under God, until we come to that place, all our pride and self-confidence and self-reliance and self-esteem has to be annihilated. And we must truly be brought to realize that we're nothing and we can do nothing. There's only two ways to deal with the problem. Well, you got to remove the problem or you got to increase the strength to bear it. So how does God choose to deal with this? In the most wonderful way. He increases our strength. That's how He does it. The grace of God provides the strength to bear anything that comes into our life. That ought to make anybody who's a real Christian, if you ever shout, if you ever praise God, if you ever want to run around and leap and shout and run and leap for joy, like they did in the temple that day, that man that was lame and got healed, running and leaping and praising God. If you ever felt like doing that, you ought to feel like doing that upon knowing that fact. That my grace is sufficient. I will, my strength is made perfect in weakness. You'll make it. Because when you're weak, that's when you're strong. I don't know, it's such a simple truth and yet it's so deep and it's so hard to really hit it right on the head so that everybody can get it. The closest you'll ever be to God, the most real that God will ever be in your life under this sky that we're living in, will be when you are at the weakest point of your life. That's when God will be the most real to you if you know Him. If you're a partaker of His grace. If you're looking to Him. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Did you ever think about what kind of strength it took to do what he did? To stand like he did? A preacher of righteousness in a world like that? And then to accomplish what he did, he was moved with fear. He built an ark. He obeyed God. How did he do it? Grace. The grace of God enabled Noah to do what he did. That's what grace is. Grace is not like most people think. Most people think, read that and they think, well, God looked on the world and everybody else is wicked and Noah was good, so he liked Noah and he just killed the rest. No, that's not it at all. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now that's Paul again. Same Paul that we're reading about here talking about the same thing. He's not saying, I'm going to make it. I'm going to do it. You're going to see. I'll do it or bust. No, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's God's strength that I'm running on. It's not me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how I'm making it. That's how I'm doing it. And I know this sounds like foreign words to you until you experience it. And then it ain't foreign words no more. It's reality. And it rings real in your heart. If you ever see the perfect strength of God manifested in somebody, you'll see a person who has nothing to say of themselves and much to say of the grace of God. It ain't going to be like these politicians speaking and using me and I 70, 80, 200 times in their speech. I've heard preachers like that. I listened to one for years. And every message included a story as an illustration and it was always about him, and he was always the hero. Every time. Should have known something was wrong there. I do now. If you ever see the perfect strength of God manifested in someone, you're going to see a person who's been completely emptied of themselves. These people you meet that are just different. And I'm not talking about oddballs and kooks. I'm talking about the people you meet that you just, they're godly. You know God is with them. You sense God in their presence. It'll never be somebody who's a mighty man and a strong man. It'll be somebody who has been totally emptied of themselves. And you ain't, and most of the time, almost all of the time, you're not going to have any idea of what it was that emptied them of themselves. I believe I've known a few. Yep. I know I have. And that's what keeps me going. You know, Gary talking Sunday school about not studying the false doctrine and all. That ain't how you do it. What do you say? The debaters say that 80% of your preparation is studying what they believe and then 20% of your own, what you believe. No, bad deal. What's kept me going, what encourages my heart, is the real ones I've met.
That's right. Amen.
I don't find my way by all of the duds and the phonies and the imposters. No, I remember the ones that were real. Amen. Well, stand with me. There's so many things that we talk about here and that I preach, and I say it to you from time to time, but I know that today it seems maybe boring to you and you just can't find the application for it in your life right now. But you better remember this and you better keep these things, because there'll come a day when you'll have to pull them out. Say, oh, well, I'm glad I got this.
Yes,
most of us here are the kind of people who don't throw things away. Ain't that right, Brother Jim? Yep. Well, it's all of us. It ain't just you. You ought to see my barn, my shed, around my desk. Every little bolt, every little thing, fitting and stuff, I try to find a place and put it so, because I might need it. And everybody laughs about it, and says bad things about you. But it's pretty often, her dad was that way, but it's pretty often that I'll go pull a little drawer open or something and find what I need. You better be that way about these spiritual things. You better keep. Everything that you find along the way, you better put it in your little pouch and keep it. Some of them things have saved my life. So, amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this truth that we've talked about this morning. Oh, it's so true. And it's so real. It's one of the great joys and assurances of our life as a child of God, that we belong to you. Your grace, it's real. It's always on time. It's there when we need it. It's there when we will move out of the way and let you have your way. There's the strength we need. There's the comfort we need. There's the favor that we know we have with Thee. Lord, I pray You'd bless it to our hearts. And I know, Lord, I wish I could have done a lot better job of getting this across. But I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would cover those bases. And Lord, that You would make this something that would be remembered in the hearts of those who hear it. In Jesus' name, amen.